said a younger man. "Seafarers, voyagers, maybe they know of a land we do not know of."
"There is no land east of this land,"
said the old man, and he looked long at Gid and spoke no more to him. The companions slept that night in the smoky warmth of the lodge. Before daylight, Gid roused his friend, whispering, "Astario, wake. We cannot stay. We must go."
"Why so soon?" Vetch asked, full of sleep.
"Not soon. Late. I have followed too slow. It has found the way to escape me, and so doom me. It must not escape me, for I must follow it however far it goes. If I lose it, I am lost."
"Where do we follow it?"
"Eastward. Come, fill the waterskins." So they left the lodge before any in the village was awake, except a baby that cried a little in the darkness of some hut, and fell still again. By the vague starlight they found the way down to the creek mouth and untied Lookfar from the rock cairn where she had been made fast, and pushed her out into the black water. So they set out eastward, from Astowel into the open sea, on the first day of the fallows, before sunrise. That day they had clear skies. The world's wind was cold and gusty from the northeast, but Ged had raised the mage wind, the first act of magery he had done since he left the Isle of the Hands. And they sailed very fast due eastward. The boat shuddered with the great smoking sunlit waves that hit her as she ran, but she went gallantly as her builder had promised, answering the mage wind as true as any spell-enwoven ship of Roke. Ged spoke not at all that morning, except to renew the power of the wind spell or to keep a charmed strength in the sail, and Vetch finished his sleep, though uneasily, in the stern of the boat. At noon they ate. Ged doled their food sparingly, and the portent of this was plain, but both of them chewed their bit of salt fish and wheaten cake and neither said anything. All afternoon they cleaved eastward, never turning nor slackening pace. Once Ged broke his silence, saying, "Do you hold with those who think the world is all landless sea beyond the outer reaches? Or with those who imagine other archipelagos or vast undiscovered lands on the other face of the world?"
"At this time, I hold with those who think the world has but one face, and he who sails too far will fall off the edge of it."
Ged did not smile. There was no mirth left in him. "Who knows what a man might meet out there? Not we, who keep always to our coasts and shores."
"Some have sought to know, and have not returned, and no ship has ever come to us from lands we do not know."
Ged made no reply. All that day, all that night, they went, driven by the powerful wind of magery over the great swells of ocean, eastward. Ged kept watch from dusk till dawn, for in darkness the force that drew or drove him grew stronger, yet always he watched ahead, though his eyes in the moonless night could see no more than the painted eyes aside the boat's blind prow. By daybreak his dark face was gray with weariness, and he was so cramped with cold that he could hardly stretch out to rest. He said, whispering, "Hold the mage wind from the west, Astario," and then he slept. There was no sunrise, and presently rain came beating across the bow from the northeast. It was no storm, only the long, cold winds and rains of winter. Soon all things in the open boat were wet through, despite the sailcloth cover they had bought, and Vetch felt as if he too were soaked clear to the bone, and Ged shivered in his sleep. In pity for his friend and perhaps for himself, Vetch tried to turn aside for a little that rude, ceaseless wind that bore the rain. But, though following Ged's will, he could keep the mage wind strong and steady. His weatherworking had small power here so far from land, and the wind of the open sea did not listen to his voice. And at this a certain fear came into Vetch, as he began to wonder how much wizardly power would be left to him and Ged if they went on and on away from the lands where men were meant to live. Ged watched again that night, and all night held the boat eastward. When day came, the world's wind slackened somewhat, and the sun shone fitfully, but the great swells ran so high that Lookfar must tilt and climb up them as if they were hills, and hang at the hill crest, and plunge suddenly, and climb up the next again, and the next, unending. In the evening of that day, Vetch spoke out of long silence.
"My friend, you spoke once as if sure we would come to land at last. I would not question your vision but for this, that it might be a trick, a deception made by that which you follow, to lure you on farther than a man can go over ocean, for our power may change and weaken on strange seas, and a shadow does not tire or starve or drown."
They sat side by side on the thwart. Yet Ged looked at him now as if from a distance across a wide abyss. His eyes were troubled, and he was slow to answer. At last he said, "Asteriel, we are coming near." Hearing his words, his friend knew them to be true. He was afraid then, but he put his hand on Ged's shoulder and said only, "Well then, good. That is good." Again that night Ged watched, for he could not sleep in the dark, nor would he sleep when the third day came. Still they ran with that ceaseless light, terrible swiftness over the sea, and Vetch wondered at Ged's power that could hold so strong a mage wind hour after hour here on the open sea, where Vetch felt his own power all weakened and astray. And they went on, until it seemed to Vetch that what Ged had spoken would come true, and they were going beyond the sources of the sea, and eastward behind the gates of daylight. Ged stayed forward in the boat, looking ahead as always, but he was not watching the ocean now. Or not the ocean that Vetch saw, a waste of heaving water to the rim of the sky. In Ged's eyes, there was a dark vision that overlapped and veiled the gray sea and the gray sky, and the darkness grew and the veil thickened. None of this was visible to Vetch, except when he looked at his friend's face. Then he, too, saw the darkness for a moment. And they went on and on, and it was as if the one wind drove them in one boat. Vetch went east over the world sea, while Ged went alone into a realm where there was no east or west, no rising or setting of the sun or of the stars. Ged stood up suddenly in the prow and spoke aloud. The mage wind dropped. Lookfar lost headway and rose and fell on the vast surges like a chip of wood. Though the world's wind blew strong as ever straight from the north now, the brown sail hung slack, unstirred. And so the boat hung on the waves, swung by their great slow swinging, but going no direction. Ged said, "Take down the sail." And Vetch did so quickly, while Ged unlashed the oars and set them in the locks and bent his back to rowing. Vetch, seeing only the waves heaving up and down clear to the end of sight, could not understand why they went now by oars, but he waited. And presently he was aware that the world's wind was growing faint, and the swells diminishing. The climb and plunge of the boat grew less and less, till at last she seemed to go forward under Ged's strong oar strokes over water that lay almost still, as in a landlocked bay. And though Vetch could not see what Ged saw,